Ghana, like many developing nations, faces an increasing demand for energy due to population growth, urbanization, and the quest for economic development. However, the country also experiences frequent power outages, which deteriorates energy security, and power generation relies heavily on fossil fuel usage. This combination calls for effective energy management and the adoption of energy-efficient practices, as well as sustainable cooling that frees up more energy for gaining economic sectors, as well as protecting our climate. Welcome to Let's Talk About Energy podcast, your go-to source for every information on sustainable energy, climate and development underpinnings. I'm your host, Michael Kofi Abrokwa, SE Falls Country Coordinator on Energy Efficiency and Cooling. And in today's episode and in other episodes, we'll be delving into the fascinating world of energy efficiency and cooling in Ghana. Join me as we dive in. For our first episode, we need to bring in a very special guest, someone that I've been working with when I was at the Energy Commission. So I've worked with him and I've known him for a lot of years. So I'd like to introduce who I have with me today. I have Hubert Zan, who is an assistant manager at the Energy Commission, specifically with the Energy Efficiency Division. Now, Zan has a decade of experience on his back in the field of regulation and enforcement. Welcome, Zan.
Thank you very much, Michael.
So, in your own understanding, what is energy efficiency?
Thank you again, and I say a warm welcome to seeing you again and all your listeners. So once we talk about energy efficiency, basically it's about judicious use of electricity to be able to perform a certain type of work. And so once you are using it in a right manner, then you are practicing energy efficiency. Now, there are some key things to note that efficiency has a twin, which is conservation. And these words are used simultaneously. It depends on what it is. But basically, you are looking at the behavior, what we do to be able to conserve some of these energies that we are coming in with.
Okay. Thank you for that, Zan. So what are some of the energy challenges that Ghana as a country is facing?
Yeah. So as you rightly mentioned in your introduction, over the years, as early as 1985, thereabout, we had power crisis. Also because we're heavily relying on the Akosombo Dam.
True.
And, you know, once we had droughts and all these things coming in, then the production was going to reduce over time. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, we had a serious crisis, you know, around 2007 thereabouts.
The famous Dumso.
The ongoing load shedding exercise that country is experiencing. Is
well, this evening we're looking at Dumso.
Dumso, what is affecting?
The ongoing, seemingly never-ending energy crisis confronting the country continues to take a heavy toll on households and businesses.
Running all the way till 2012. And the challenges came about because we were heavily relying on the hydro. So what we are facing now basically is, in our quest to solve these problems, we went into a lot of power purchase agreements, which effectively is costing us in terms of the capacity charges that we are paying, and also heavily relying on thermal plants, you know, which also means that when there are fluctuations in the fuel prices, it is going to affect the cost of production as well. So these are the challenges that we are looking at. Environmentally, there are other challenges too that we have to look at because of also the equipments that we have in. Most of these equipments or appliances that we have in the Ghanaian homes are basically obsolete appliances. And, you know, traditionally, we don't blame anyone because it's a cultural thing. I will prefer to tell my daughter that this refrigerator was given to me by her grandfather. You know, and so there's some kind of pride in it. And you look at how long that has been. If my daughter's grandfather used that appliance and I used it and I'm passing it over to my daughter, then it tells you that there is a lifespan that has been exhausted. And so these appliances are consuming so much as well. So even though we are paying more for capacity charges, we also have appliances that are wasting this electricity. So these are the challenges that we are facing.
It's interesting that you mentioned that we are using very old appliances. One of the things that myself I've noticed is that instead of us getting new appliances, someone prefers to import an old LG fridge has been used abroad and say that, yeah, this is LG, as compared to maybe buying a new Benetton fridge that they can readily afford. But before we really go into those details, could you give me sort of like an overview of energy efficiency regulations in Ghana?
Basically, as I said, efficiency is about making sure that these products are judiciously using the electricity that we are producing. And so when you look at the energy efficiency space, it is in a way trying to help what we call demand side management of producing electricity.
Only the energy nerds will understand this.
When you say demand side management, I like to use this water hose analogy, that when you plug your water hose to a tap and then you are watering your flowers, you realize that the pressure is high at the end. But when you punch holes in between the water hose, you realize that the pressure at the end reduces.
Yeah.
So the same way in electricity, you have your grids, your transmission lines, and then the households using the electricity. So when you have people wasting electricity in their homes, then the power that is moving through the grid reduces. And that is why you would see brownouts or low voltage, you know, in people's homes, because there are wastages along the line. Usually you hear people shout on their kids that, hey, why are you wasting the water? Close the taps. But you don't hear anybody say, why are you wasting electricity? Because these are not tangible. We don't see the wastages. Yeah, so basically, this is what happened. And in trying to solve the issues in 2005, what we did was that we realized that a lot of the appliances were obsolete. So we came up with what we call standards and labeling for air conditioners, because we realized that these air conditioners were consuming very high. And so if you are bringing used air conditioners into the market, whilst we are relying on just Akosombo, it was going to be very difficult for us. Now, the excuse a lot of people give when they are bringing in these products is that because it's coming from Europe, it is more durable than the new ones. Why is that so? It is because the Europeans have what we call standards and regulations. So they go into the markets, be it China, Indonesia, Thailand, and say, we want these products to come into our market. However, this is the minimum performance we want you to meet before you can enter into the market. We didn't have that in our case. And so anyone at all could travel, go to China or whichever country, buy a new appliance, but also substandard. So the argument we've always made is that the fact that it's new does not mean it's durable. It could be substandard. And the only way to curb all of this is to come up with what we call standards and labeling. So we work very closely with the Ghana Standards Authority, who adapted international standards. So we didn't reinvent the wheel.
Okay.
We just adapted international standards so that just like the products going to Europe, we want that same kind of products to come into Ghana.
So from what I'm getting, you can say that the products that are coming to Ghana, you can find those same products in Europe.
Exactly.
And compare them and they'll be of the same
Exactly. But these standards also come with different appliances. So as I mentioned, we started with air conditioners and refrigerators. You know, so we didn't do for the other appliances because that was the starting point.
Okay.
And if you remember this onion bulbs, incandescent.
We phased it out also
because of the standards and labeling, energy efficiency. So we phased out incandescent, banning them and introducing CFL then. And we did, the government helped do some replacement programs. And almost every home was using CFL at the time. And this really helped us a lot.
Okay. So what would you say for those that are currently importing incandescent bulbs?
who would say that you're spoiling their business.
Yes. So interestingly, you know, that argument has been made, but it's also about technological change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once there's a drive in technological change, you have to also move along that. And so if you're a businessman and you are dealing in a certain product and now it is being outmoded and a new version has come, you have to move on. And, you know, so what we did was rather to challenge consumers to appreciate the benefits of these lamps. And they took a personal decision to move away from it. And that is how usually we go about it. So just to give the round overview, we came up with standards and labeling for air conditioners, refrigerators. So now you see these yellow labels on fridges and air conditioners. That is as a result of the efficiency. So that a consumer who goes to buy these appliances would only look at the label and make an informed decision. So fast forward, the laws were passed for fridges and ACs, 2005 and 2009. And then we prohibited the importation of the used refrigerators and air conditioners in 2008. But I mentioned about technology.
Mm-hmm.
Technology has changed over the years. And we haven't done anything about reviewing our standards till just recently, in 2020, when we had to go back to Parliament because of some of these loopholes. One very significant one was the introduction of inverter air conditioners. At the time we passed the regulation, we didn't anticipate that technology would have gone that far.
Okay.
So you realize that the efficiency of the air conditioner was disadvantaged because we're using an outdated law to regulate it.
Okay.
So as a regulator, the Energy Commission had to step up its game, and that is what caused us to review the refrigerator and air condition law and also expand the scope by adding 17 more appliances.
Interesting. It's interesting what you talk about. Then I'm guessing the market responds to the regulations that are passed. Because
Exactly.
You hadn't passed that regulation or reviewed it to include the inverter type of ACs, then you wouldn't be seeing them a lot on the market.
Exactly. So most of the times, it's basically about demand and supply. Mm-hmm. So once you create the avenue for certain products to come into the market, the manufacturers will work with it. The importers will have to work with it because the consumers are demanding that kind of technology.
Wow. Thank you for that. So what has been one of the successful regulations that have been implemented? What has been the impact from those regulations also?
Yeah, so rightly said, and the Ghanaian situation is very unique because we kept on having calls that, hey, look, there are other appliances that are consuming so much.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you just regulating fridges and air conditioners and lamps? But we said, no, we were actually trying to understand how the industry works like. So you don't load yourself with so many regulations when you cannot do the work. So successfully, we monitored standards and labeling for fridges, air conditioners, and lamps over the years so that we could understand some of the challenges we're going to face with importers, with the market. As you said, some people complaining we're going to spoil their businesses. How are we going to go about it? How are we going to also introduce some incentives to be able to get a buy-in from consumers? And so we stayed with those three. And over the years, I think there are some good statistics to share with you. So from July 2010 to December 2021, the enforcement alone raked in about 11,367 gigawatt hours.
Wow.
You know, and you say, what does this mean for the layman? So I would just say, referring it to what we call the buoy power, electric power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This savings that we made is more than the total output of buoy for the 11-year period.
Wow.
By no investment. Just by telling people what to do, by changing the regulations and setting a certain minimum standard, you know. So that is how interesting it is. And, you know, it gets more interesting when you look at the financials. Okay, so it would have cost the country about $522 million in crude oil purchases if we were to build power plants and also buy crude oil to power them.
Hmm.
So we need to be telling these stories so that people know what it means. As I said, because we don't see the wastage, nobody appreciates electricity wastage or energy efficiency.
So by implementing and enforcing these regulations, we've been able to save ourselves building another buoy, which would be producing power for 11 years.
Exactly.
That's very interesting.
You know, the investment, what is even more interesting is that you need to let people appreciate what it means when it comes to all those details, socially, economically, and I'm sure we'll get there.
Yeah.
But the impact of that is also very critical.
Interesting. Thank you for those key stats. But we keep hearing something. I keep hearing minimum energy performance standards. What are those?
Before I even jump into the minimum performance standards, I would even add that savings that we made was enough to construct about 6 modern regional hospitals. Today, we are investing in Agenda 111, building hospitals.
Yeah.
Question is, where is all that money coming from? If we were to divert that into building power plants, we wouldn't have had those hospitals coming in. So it's the savings that we have made that is leading into some of these things. And we are saying that the government can spend some extra money to do other things.
Exactly.
And as I mentioned, this particular savings was enough to construct about 6 modern regional hospitals, assuming the cost of the hospital was about $87 million, or about 348 kilometers of asphalt road.
Wow.
We are complaining our roads are
not good.
But this savings alone could have done that. Also, assuming the cost of a kilometer to be $1.5 million per kilometer. You know, and it's more interesting when you go into the students' classroom blocks.
Mm-hmm.
About 1,048 modern classroom blocks could have been built from this.
I need everybody to look at their appliance. If it's not new, if it's not, doesn't have a label, you know yourself, please. We need more hospitals.
So these are the impacts that we need to be sharing so that people can appreciate that. Now, to jump into MEPS.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody here, what is MEPS? What are these acronyms?
Exactly.
So MEPS basically means Minimum Energy Performance Standards. And once you mention that, it means you are not being discriminatory. You are saying that products must meet a certain minimum standards before they can enter a certain market. And these are international benchmarks. These are tools that are used everywhere. So the way we desire to have products coming from Europe, from US, it's because of standards.
So it's not just Ghana being very restrictive.
Not at all.
These are things that are going on.
These are international benchmarks and they are going on in other countries. And that is why we desire for their products. We are desiring for their products because they have implemented the minimum performance standards.
Yeah.
Now, what everybody must understand, and I'm sure people know, is that they say, oh, we don't like products coming from China. They are fake. But it is still the Chinese market that is producing for the US and UK. The only difference is that they go there with standards and say, this is what we want in UK. This is what we want in US. We didn't have that in Ghana. So our Kingsmen will travel abroad, see this opportunity and say, hey, I think I can sell this for a cheaper price. The iPhone that is being sold in Ghana is too expensive. I have gotten another version.
Another iPhone.
You know, and this comes with grades. The quality, you know, all comes into cost.
Is there a graduation from minimum energy performance standards?
Yes. So minimum performance standards is basically the benchmark that you set. But now due to technology, we've come up with what we also call HEPS. That is the highly energy performance standards. So MEPS is setting the minimum performance standards. And then when you have that in your market, you can now go to HEPS to say you are setting highly efficient performance standards.
Okay.
And usually those ones are the ones we use for incentive programs, you know, to be able to push the market further.
What are incentive programs?
Yeah, so incentive programs are basically what can motivate a consumer to be able to get these appliances. Because you agree with that quality comes with price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more the efficiency, the higher the price.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that these yellow labels you see on fridges and air conditioners have a certain star rating. The star rating just works like the hotel system.
Okay.
So if I went to exactly,
the more stars, the more efficient.
Efficient it is, and the more expensive.
The more expensive.
Exactly.
Because I was going to say, exactly, if you're going to a 5-star restaurant,
exactly,
then you know what to expect. Yes. But of course, you get the quality.
So that is it. Because if I went to, you know, a 1-star hotel or a guest house somewhere, and you went to a 5-star hotel, you know, in the morning, I'm served with Lipton and then boiled eggs. Permit me to mention brands. You know, I'm just giving boiled eggs and Lipton. But I'm sure you would have a buffet. Exactly. So you go in for what you can afford, but you also know the results, what you'll be getting in return. So we advise that people go in for the high efficient ones.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the cost components, you have to support that. And in 2012, what we did was to come up with a rebate. If people remember, we said through government and UNDP and Jeff, there was a funding option that helped for people to turn in their used appliances to get a discount to exactly. be able to buy a new one. And you know Ghanaian culture, people didn't believe it. They said, oh, this is not true. And the very few who tried it took advantage and were able to change multiple appliances in their homes.
Wow. So you bring your old fridge?
You bring your old fridge.
Mm-hmm.
You get a discount based on the new one you are buying.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you're buying between 1-star to 3-star, at that time, you are getting a discount of over about 300 Ghana cedis.
Mm-hmm.
If you are buying 3-star and above, the discount goes higher. So, basically, we are paying for your old appliance for you to top up and buy a new one. And that was how the rebate worked. You know, so that is the incentive. How do you support the people? And just currently, we introduced another one called the Eco Fridges Go.
Eco Fridges Go.
Yes, which is the Eco Fridges Green on Wage.
Okay.
So the Go is Green on Wage. And we like to use acronyms because then it sticks well to people. You know, so what it does is that because of the high cost of these appliances, the program was to look at it in a way that for salaried workers, the initial cost of these products will be catered for whilst you are deducted over 12 months.
At source.
At zero, yes, at source, at 0% interest. And so when you say 0%, they say, how is that possible? How does a bank give you 0%? But that was the arrangement we made with some partner banks like Carl Bank and Leshego, and then some vendors. Some of these vendors that qualified for that program were Sun Electronic, dealers of Hisense. We also had Lloyd, that's dealers SML. We also had Ederic, dealers of Whirlpool products, you know. And then some of these people were able to bring in these products into the market, even though the cost was going to be high. But the program made it in a way that if I am interested, the price I see at the showroom is what the bank will pay for to the vendor. And then they deduct me from source at 0% interest. So if it's 5,000,
mm-hmm.
the 5,000 is paid upfront for me by the bank, and the bank deducts the 5,000 over 12 months. Okay. And you see the flexibility. And we thought if we're doing this, you know, so much, everybody could at least afford an efficient appliance at a relaxed pace of payment. You know, so these are some of the things that we are talking about when we talk about incentives.
So it's not only the regulations and the enforcement, which will be like the stick part of things, but also providing the carrot where you are actually putting in financial mechanisms that allows people to be able to purchase some of these efficient.
Exactly. You know, as a regulator, you rightly said, it's not just about whipping, you know, using the stick. We have the law. We are going to punish you if you don't bring this. No. How about baiting them? And that is where the carrot comes in. How does the consumer appreciate what you are doing? And even if he appreciates it, how does he even afford it? So that is why we are looking at all these options, which is supposed to help people achieve it.
I hear right now it's 17 appliances you are looking at.
17 new ones.
New appliances.
In addition to the two revised ones.
The two revised
ones. So totally 20.
Wow. I hear people are really kicking against it.
People are really kicking against it. But of course, you give them opportunity to tell you their reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, it's very sad. No reason apart from personal gains.
Wow.
What we believe is that you need to educate the public to make an informed decision.
Mm-hmm.
For Energy Commission, what we believe is that we don't force our way in doing things when it comes to enforcement. We rather prefer to educate. And Ghanaians are discerning enough to know what they want. So the argument has been that most of our kingsmen who travel abroad would go and buy, not even purchase, but for these products that are meant for recycling. Every appliance has its lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
After a period, people have incentive programs in Europe where they can change, they can swap their appliances. And so the old ones are meant for recycling. But when our kingsmen travel, they see it as an opportunity. Why do you go and destroy this when we can bring it to Ghana and maybe give it to my grandmother to sell coal store? And that is a sad part of it. So they get it free over there. The law in Ghana says they have prohibited the importation of these products. So what they do is that they smuggle them in. And by smuggling, they put them into containers laden with other items. And then they generally describe them as personal effects and household goods.
Zan, where are these equipments coming from?
Mostly it's coming from UK. It's coming from Italy. And so if you look at the European zone, these things are coming from there. The initial argument was that, well, it's your people who are bringing it. But if you have signed onto the treaty says we are all preventing things from entering into each other's markets, which ideally you will not be using in your market, which is what we are fighting on, this dumping issues, dumping of obsolete appliances. So we need to think about it as a bigger picture, and as I said, a shared responsibility on how to stop these things from happening.
Thank you for that, Zan. So just before we wrap up, I know Ghana has been described as a star, and I know that most of the things that we are doing currently are not being done in other African countries.
Right.
So how can we influence other West African countries to push towards an energy efficient future with the things that we are doing?
So we say that people should look at the total cost of ownership of owning this appliance. It is the same story we need to share to the other African countries. That it is not just about Ghana doing this, but we need to find a way of harmonizing it as ECOWAS. Okay. Also considering the African continental free trade. You know, that trade knows no borders. But you need what we call technical barriers to trade. And these are some of the things. You don't just allow anything to enter into the market. My fear is that this dumping issue that we keep on talking about, if other African countries do not come up with standards, then most of these products that cannot enter the Ghanaian market will find their way into the other African countries. Unfortunately, you know the status of our borders, very porous. So they might end up finding their way back into the Ghanaian market through illegal means. And once you create that kind of opportunity, it becomes black market. And people will strive in, you know, in that. So we are advocating through ECRI and then ECOWAS to come up with a harmonized standard for West Africa. And then the AU is also looking at something for the African continent.
Yeah.
Because you have the European regulation. And the other argument that have also come up is that, oh, but I can take my fridge from Germany and take it to France. That is because they are all in the EU.
Interesting.
Germany does not import used fridges. France does not import used fridges. But you can take from Germany to France because it is in the EU. So once the product entered the EU market and met the standard, it means you can trade within. And that's what we should be doing. And if you look at the opportunities, Mike, Africa is a big market.
Yeah.
It's a big market. And we are pushing that all these manufacturers should look at the opportunity to come and set up assembling plants here. And they'll make it. They'll definitely make it. So that is the bigger picture. Not always importing, but also bringing up these facilities here that can serve as jobs, will get, you know, better value for the product costs, and everybody can own an efficient appliance.
Thank you for that, Zan. So just to wrap up, one of the key things that I picked from this conversation is that appliances have a lifetime. And this goes to my dad. Please, the fridge, you've used it for too long. Please change it.
Perhaps the cultural aspect is there. He wants to hand over to you, and then you can also hand over to the next generation.
I don't want that 20-year-old fridge. So we need to really change our lifestyles when it comes to energy efficiency. What I've gotten from my conversation with Zan is that you can put at the back bench, bringing more supply when it comes to power, and you can just implement an energy efficient activity, and you can have enough power to use. Thank you. I'd like to say thank you again, Zan, for coming to join us on Let's Talk About Energy. And we look forward to another time with you.
Thank you very much, Mike. And always a pleasure to discuss with you and to discuss to all of Ghanaians and the world on what Ghana is doing on energy efficiency.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share it with your friends and family. Don't forget to tune in next time for more information on energy efficiency and cooling. Until then, take care and keep talking about energy.